The scripture reading this afternoon is first of all from Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Listen to the word of God. To the choir master according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely are your dwelling, is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And then from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they, that is Jesus and the disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 84 is one of the well-known and certainly one of the well-loved psalms. The psalm about resting, being at peace in the courts of the Lord. The psalm that tells us about the blessedness of the one who trusts in the Lord. I've set a theme over this sermon. I gathered the sermon under this theme, we, God's people, on pilgrimage, long for the courts of the Lord. We, God's people, who are on pilgrimage, long for the courts of the Lord. The psalm speaks about a place, a pilgrimage, and a people. The place is the courts of the Lord. It is the tabernacle. It is the temple. For us who live in the New Testament era, it is the church of Christ, and resting under his shelter. The pilgrimage is the passage that we are on through life. As we travel through life towards the New Jerusalem, a way which sometimes is beautiful and sometimes is very difficult. The people are those who would rather be in the presence of the Lord would rather be in the presence of the Lord than in the tents of wickedness. The people upon whom God shines, upon whom God shines with his glory cloud in the face of Jesus Christ shining upon us. So I've organized the sermon around those three ideas: a place, a pilgrimage, and a people. So let us think about those three centers around which I have gathered this sermon. First of all, about a place. The place, the Lord, it starts off, "How lovely, O Lord, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." It's talking about the temple. And before the temple, the tabernacle. The tabernacle was beautiful with its embroidered cloth, and its gold and its silver. And the temple was even more beautiful because it was a permanent place. And it was filled with, it was built out of there were stones, hewn stones, and there was embroidered cloth, and there was gold, and there was silver. It was beautiful. And the psalm goes on, "My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord." The psalm speaks about my soul. What is my soul? What is your soul? Well, in biblical terms, your soul is the entire you, body and spirit. All the writer of the psalm wants to be is near unto his God, near the Lord. This is his highest joy. He knows no higher joy than being near the Lord. He knows that if the Lord is his and he belongs to the Lord, that if he has the Lord, he has everything he needs. And that if he did not have the Lord, he would have nothing. And that goes for us as well, beloved. Can you say that? Can you say that? Do you say that? That with the Lord, I have everything I need. And without the Lord, I would have nothing. Can you say that? Does that find an echo in you? Is God your highest and your greatest desire? Do you want to be near unto him? God's people in the Old Testament knew that when they were at the tabernacle and later at the temple, they were near unto the Lord. They were as near to the Lord as they could be. And God's people of the New Testament, that is us, is we know that when we are gathered on the Lord's Day, as you are gathered today, there is no time or place that we are nearer unto God. No time are we closer to God than when we are gathered together to worship him, praising him, listening to his word. His word coming over us, washing over us like gentle waves. And when we are singing our praise to him with one voice. Then it speaks of heart and flesh singing out to the Lord, singing out to God. What is your heart? Well, in biblical terms, your heart is more than that organ which pumps blood throughout you, through your body. Your heart is the very core of you. It is the very center of whom you are. It is the real you. That's your heart. And your flesh is everything else, the rest of you. Your body, your bones, your skin, your muscles, your kidneys, your liver, everything else is your flesh, but your heart, that is you. And your heart wants to be where God is. And your flesh, your body, naturally follows, goes to be as well where your heart wants to be. Beloved, again, can you see that? Do you see that? Does your heart and all the rest of you sing joyfully to the living God? I pray that you can and that you will. May we all come to say that. May we say that for the very first time. Or may we say it again, many times over. And then verse 3 says, even the birds find a place to rest. Even the swallow and the sparrow find a place in God's temple. In the ancient world, birds were not chased out of temples. They were allowed to stay. The birds were allowed into the temple and were allowed to build their nests and to lay their eggs near unto the altar, and they were allowed to sing as birds are wont to sing. The singing birds were allowed to be in the temple near unto God, and the writer of the psalm knew that there was no better place to be. We read about Martha and Mary, the two sisters of Bethany who lived in a house. Martha had a house, and she lived there with her sister Mary, and also then her brother Lazarus, although he is not mentioned here. But anyway, Jesus was visiting them. He was visiting Martha and Mary, and Martha was distracted by all kinds of preparations. Jesus and the disciples were visiting them, so she was distracted with preparing this and preparing that and getting this together. And Mary, where was Mary? Mary was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was teaching, and the disciples and Mary as well was sitting there. And Martha thought Mary was being distracted. She thought Mary was being distracted by the teaching of Jesus, and that she should help her sister, that Mary should help Martha. So she told Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all the work? Tell Mary to help me. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So who was distracted? Who was being distracted? Not Mary, but Martha was. And beloved, only one thing is necessary, and that is to be at Jesus' feet. The New Testament application of Psalm 84, longing for the courts of the Lord today, on the Lord's Day, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Everything might be taken away from you, but if you have this one thing, that you are sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, then you have everything that you need. There are some who think that they don't need Jesus, that they don't need to be near unto him. They don't long to be near Jesus. Why? Because they need a new heart. They need a heart transplant. It's a heart problem. The heart is by nature, as Scripture tells us, desperately corrupt. By nature, the human heart is a heart of stone. We need a heart transplant. Why do some stay away from church? Why do some leave the church? Because they need a heart transplant. If you are going to have a heart transplant, you need a donor. You can't have a heart transplant without a donor. Is there a donor? A donor available? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus. He is the donor. Jesus will give you a new heart, and beloved, his heart is big enough to give each of us a new heart. If you believe in Jesus, if you give yourself to him, if you seek him out and sit at his feet, then you'll be born again and you will receive a new heart. And then you will hunger and thirst for the courts of the Lord. Jesus is the great donor, but he is also the great physician. Without him, you have nothing. With him, you have everything you need. You are sitting at the feet of Jesus, are you not? Soaking up the good news of Jesus, of salvation through the cross. And parents, ensure that you teach your children this, that there is nothing so important that they sit at the feet of Jesus, soaking up his teaching. Let us remain with him always. As the sparrows and swallows lay their eggs near unto the altar and raise their young, brood their young by the altar of God, let us bring our children to the worship service. The congregation is made up of old and young. A congregation is beautiful because it is really the only multi-ethnic and multi-generational group that there is in existence, the congregation made up of young and old. Reformed people are a singing people. We sang in church, and we pray to the Lord when we sing. We are praying. We are united together with one voice, praying to God. And let us do so, and let us teach our children to sing. If the young people, middle-aged people, and old people are singing praises to God, then God is praised. God is glorified. And let the men also sing. It was beautiful again to hear the men sing. We're not talking about the marks of the true church now, but a sign of a healthy church is singing men and crying babies. Yeah, sometimes the babies are too distracting and need to be taken out to the nursery. We all understand that. But if a church if a congregation never hears babies crying and men singing, then that church is not a healthy church. So we spoke about a place with Jesus at his feet. Let us think secondly about the pilgrimage. You read that in the verses 5 through 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. We're to think here of a pilgrim coming from faraway places, pilgrims coming from faraway places in the land of Israel, joining together to make that trip up to Jerusalem, to one of the great festivals, one of the great annual festivals, pilgrimage festivals in Jerusalem. At times it was a pleasant journey, but often it was very difficult. It was an arduous, a hard journey. The pilgrim is traveling over hills and through valleys. We read here about the Valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. The Valley of Weeping. A Lebanese barber that I used to go to get my hair cut taught me about this, about the Valley of Baca. It was in Lebanon, And he was, when he lived in Lebanon, he was often in that valley, and it was a very difficult valley to go through. It had a lot of deep spots in it, and it was dry and dusty, and it was arduous. But then would come the rains, the early rains, the late rains, the rains, and all sorts of pools would gather. All sorts of pools would gather in that valley. That was the Valley of Baca, a place of weeping because it was difficult, but a place also of tears and weeping because the rains would fill the little pools in the valley. Well, often we're traveling through life, weeping. We're traveling through the Valley of Baca, weeping for various reasons, perhaps because of illness of a loved one, the passing away of a loved one, a loved one who has turned his back on the Lord, various reasons that we are going through the Valley of Baca. Well, let us carry on, beloved. Let us carry on also through that difficult valley. Let us go to Zion. Let us go to Jesus, whom we will meet at Zion, and who will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and who will refresh us. Today, traveling is not that difficult. We fly down the 400 series highways. We dash into the en routes to grab a coffee at a Tim Hortons or a Starbucks or something like that. But in the days in which Psalm 84 was written, travel was often very difficult. It could be so very hot, and there were not many places to rest. And yet, they went from strength to strength. My homiletics prof many years ago, the late Reverend Van Doren, he was convinced, he always said that the strength to strength refers to traveling from oasis to oasis. We know from the 40 years that the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, that at times they would come to an oasis. Elim, for instance, is mentioned as an oasis, and it would be a place of rest, a place where there were water springs, and there was trees where they could get the rest. They would regain their strength, and then they would go on traveling strong again through part of the wilderness towards the next oasis, and they would go from strength to strength, from oasis to oasis. As they traveled, they did not get weaker and weaker, but they got stronger and stronger. Well, beloved, how will you get stronger? How will you get stronger and stronger as you journey through life? Only by following the Lord Jesus. The children of Israel in the wilderness had to follow that pillar of cloud, which we know is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as the children of Israel followed the pillar of cloud through the wilderness, from oasis to oasis, from strength to strength, so we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we travel from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, from worship service to worship service, where we are always sitting at the feet of Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you will get stronger and stronger, and you will reach your destination. The trip might be difficult, but you will faithfully reach your destination, which is the Lord God in Zion. Believers who die before the Lord Jesus returns immediately go in their spirit. They go to be with Jesus. They go to be with Zion. And when Jesus returns, then he will reunite, he will resurrect those who have died. He will raise us from the dead. He will reunite body and spirit. And then we will go body and spirit, body and soul, to be with our Lord Jesus in the heavenly Zion. Beloved, though the way may be mentally, though you and loved ones may get mentally and physically weak, As you travel on this pilgrimage, you, if you follow Jesus and continue to be encouraged by the Lord, you will get stronger and stronger. Physically, mentally, weaker, but spiritually, you will get stronger until you make it to Jesus. And parents, you need to teach your children about the importance of following the Lord Jesus. You need to teach your children that they as well are on pilgrimage through life. And only as they follow Jesus will they arrive safely at the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Mount Zion. Only by following Jesus will they and we all appear before God in Zion. Then finally, I would speak about a people. Place, pilgrimage, people. The psalm ends with speaking about the Lord God being a sun and shield for his people. You know how pleasant it is, and it's a pleasant time of year, springtime, summer, when the sun shines upon you and warms you, warms your face. Similarly, when we follow Jesus and look to Jesus, then his face is shining upon us. He is the Son of Righteousness, who arose to give us life and joy. He is also like a shield that protects you. He is your mighty fortress, because Jesus is a sun and shield to those who love him, and because he bestows favor on those who follow him, you are better off spending one day with Jesus than 1,000 in the tents of wickedness and sin. You would rather be a doorkeeper to the Lord's house than live in the tents of sin. Now, I want to just go back briefly to the superscription of this psalm. Please note that the psalm was written by the sons of Korah. It is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The children will have learned in school about Korah, about his rebellion. In Numbers 16, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What was that rebellion about, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Well, Moses and Aaron were with Israel. It was when Moses and Aaron were with Israel in the wilderness, and Korah belonged to the tribe of Levi. The children will remember that. And it was a task of the Levites to take care of the tabernacle. Some of the Levites opened and closed the doors to the tabernacle. Some of the Levites chopped wood and brought water, and they were assistants to the priests. They helped the priests, and each had their own task. And God had taken one of the clans of Levi, the family of Aaron, and given him, Aaron and his successors, children, his descendants, gave them the task of burning incense before the Lord. So all the Levites were involved in taking care of the tabernacle, and when they went from place to place, different Levites had to carry different parts of the tabernacle. And one family, the family of Aaron, brought sacrifices and burnt incense before the Lord. Well, at one point, Korah was displeased with this, and he managed to get two buddies, and the three of them, they went together. They objected. They had an objection to Moses. And Korah was the leader, and he said to Moses, "Moses, it's not fair. It's not right that you only give the job of burning the sacrifices and burning incense to Aaron. We too, my family as well," said Korah. "I too want to be a priest. I'm not satisfied with just the work that you gave me to do. Well, Moses asked him and his fellow rebels if it was not enough that God had put him and other Levites in charge of setting up and taking down and transporting the tabernacle. God had given each his own task. By wanting to fulfill a task that God had not given them, they were rebelling against God. And the children remember the punishment that Korah and his family received, the families of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The earth swallowed up, and they all were sucked into the earth, and that was the end of them, swallowed up alive. But very interestingly, in Numbers 26, verse 11, we read that the line of Korah, however, did not die out. The Lord, in his grace, although most of the family of Korah died with Korah, there was one family line of Korah that did not die out. Some of his children survived their father's rebellion and continued in the service of the Lord and the tabernacle. And also interestingly, in 1 Chronicles 26, so Numbers 26, 1 Chronicles 26, we read that King David made the sons of Korah doorkeepers. Isn't that interesting? Made them doorkeepers. The doorkeepers were responsible for opening the doors of the tabernacle and later the temple, and of barring, preventing anyone illegitimately entering the tabernacle and the temple. Only those who were qualified to enter the temple could do so. That was the job of the sons of Korah. Now we see some wonderful irony here, do we not? Korah had said, "Let me in. Let me through the door. I want to do the work of a priest. I want this, that, and the other thing. I'm not content with just transporting pieces of the tabernacle alone." He tried to push his way forward to ask that God that to take unto himself the task that God had given to others. That was Korah. And now the sons of Korah were given the task of making sure that no illegitimate entry, that no one would do what their father had tried to do. The sons of Korah said, "Better to be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord than to live in the tents of rebellion." The sons of Korah, honorable people in the face of the wickedness their father had done. Now, beloved, can you say that? Do I say that it is better to be the humblest servant of God in God's household than to live the life of the rebel? You know, sometimes the tents of sin look pretty good. The tents of wickedness are pretty appealing. Sometimes it seems nicer out there in the tents of the wicked than here inside the church. Some do leave the church for a life away from Jesus. Sometimes it seems that our non-Christian neighbors have all the fun while the Christian life is boring. Beloved, don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by that broad path. That broad path, because it leads to destruction. Everything you see around us is going to disappear. The form of this world, says Paul, the form of this world is passing away. The tents of wickedness and the tents of sin are going to shrivel up and disappear. The only thing that will still be standing at the return of Jesus Christ is us, is we. We ourselves. We are the only everlasting things, and we will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And whether heaven or hell is my final and everlasting destiny depends upon whether I love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. Better to be on the pathway to Zion than on the highway to hell. Ensure that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. Then you may know that the Lord will withhold no good thing from you. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May the sunshine of God, may of his radiant face shine upon you. May Jesus be your shield to protect you. If you confess your sins, believe in Jesus, and follow him, you may know that you will have a good future. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless us as we go forward on pilgrimage. And for some, it is pleasant. The pilgrimage is pleasant. Pleasant things are happening in their lives, and we thank you for them. But for others, the pilgrimage is very difficult because we grieve the loss of loved ones. We grieve that some have turned away from you, turned away from Jesus, no longer want to be sitting at Jesus' feet. And that is so difficult, Lord. And we pray that you will comfort us, and that you will bless us, and that you will grant each one of us whatever we need. We pray that you will bless each of us on our individual pilgrimages and bless us together on our combined pilgrimage. We pray that we may follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may enter in at the straight gate and follow Jesus all the days of our lives. Look upon us in your grace this coming week. Grant us everything we need. We pray that we may be carried along by the preaching of the word as we heard it this morning and this afternoon. We ask in Jesus' name.